Good morning to you all here this morning. This is Brother Wilmer Kaufman again here this morning. I greet you all in the name of Jesus. Yes, this morning for the devotional, I would like to continue on what we've been looking into this week. We've been looking into this on Monday morning, on Wednesday morning, Thursday, and Friday, and would like to continue here this morning. What we've been looking at this week has a lot to do with in Matthew 22:37-40. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is likened unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. It may be good for anyone that hasn't been following after to maybe look at Monday morning, Wednesday morning, Thursday, and Friday morning here to be able to follow after in what we're looking at here this morning. Now, in these verses, you know, it does say, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And, the two different ways of looking at this is just simply loving God with all that's within us. Or, number two, is there a deeper meaning? Is there a reason he said this? And I do believe that there's a deeper meaning here, and I also believe that in some situations, just loving the Lord with everything that's within that person is well accepted by God. But for some of us, as we study into it and as we struggle to walk a deeper walk with the Lord, I think it's necessary for us to look at this verse in a deeper way. I do believe that this verse does expose or reveal our Heavenly Father in a greater way. Not only does He want us to love Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, He actually looks at us that way. You see, He looks at us. He knows that we are created this way, with a heart, with a soul, and with a mind. So that is the way that He looks at us. And I think, you know, this is a commandment that we love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. So it's a commandment, and we can kind of lose sight of some of the meaning here because many different reasons. But it really does expose to us how God looks at us. He knows these things. He knows we've been created this way. I'd like to go to Luke here this morning. It's a story that a lot of us know very well. It says there in Luke 19, verse 1, And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place and looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he did make haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from the man, from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. I find this little portion of scripture very interesting. Here was Zacchaeus. Apparently, there was a conflict going on within Zacchaeus. There was a conflict going on that bothered him for quite some time, and apparently he had never come to an agreement within himself to do anything about it. However, in the presence of Jesus, the man without sin, a man without sin, see, Jesus also was a heart, a soul, and mind. He was also, he also had that same structure. In fact, we can read in the Bible, and God himself speaks about his own heart. He speaks about his own soul. He speaks about his own mind. And I find this interesting. Okay, here was a man without sin, and there was no conflict within him at all. Many times Jesus said, I do the will of my Father. Many times he explained, everything that I do is the will of my Father. You see, there was a complete unity within Jesus. There was no argument going on within Jesus. Jesus knew exactly where he was, where he stood. Now he met with this man Zacchaeus, and there was a conflict going on. And this man Zacchaeus, I believe he sensed this. He was curious. It says he wanted to see, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was. He was curious about this man. And now he was in the presence of this man, and all of a sudden, it was just absolutely safe for Zacchaeus to just simply become honest within himself, to agree within himself, to just simply tell Jesus in what situation he was in there. The question that I have this morning, how do people feel when they come into our presence? Is it safe for people that come into our presence? Is it safe for them to open up? Is it safe? Do they sense? What are people sensing when they come into our presence? Do they sense a conflict? Do they sense that there's two and two are not, in other words, they're seeing that two and two is not equaling four in our lives? I would just like to take a little closer look here with Zacchaeus. It says he was a chief among Republicans, and he was rich. He sought to see Jesus, who he was. Now, in this day, I believe that the Jews despised those that were tax collectors. They despised them because the tax, I believe, was being collected for the Romans. And they felt this bondage. So whoever went to such a low degree as to even work for the Romans and collect this tax was a shame to them. Now, I could be wrong on that, but I think that was what was going on here. So here was Zacchaeus. He was this nobody, and apparently he needed to have an income. And I believe at that time that there may have been many of the common people lived a very poor life. So I don't know what drove Zacchaeus to the point that he became a tax collector. But apparently when he went as far as being a tax collector, they saw him as a value to them, and they made him a chief amongst the publicans. He was not only a publican, but he was a chief. He was like an overseer. Now, he was, if I have this correct, he was the scum from his own people. They didn't like him. It says he sought out Jesus, who he was, and could not because he was little of stature. He climbed up in this tree because he really wanted to see Jesus. When Jesus came to that place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus. Now, the fact that he said his name, this says a lot right here. He said Zacchaeus' name. You know, when we meet people, as we meet people and we greet them by their name, it does something. Here Jesus was greeting him by name. Now, I believe that Jesus did not just see Zacchaeus on a heart level. He saw Zacchaeus beyond the heart level. Jesus looked at Zacchaeus as more than just a person with a heart. He looked at Zacchaeus and he looked at a person with a heart, with a soul, and with a mind. And that is the way Jesus looked at people. And that is the way that Jesus looks at us. The question is, can we look at people that way ourselves, or is there a conflict going on within us? And I would like to talk more on that conflict. It says that he has came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, and I believe this was the Pharisees and scribes, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. In other words, the people around in this crowd saw that Jesus, they were also curious about this man. They saw that he was going to go eat with this man that they despised. And they had even come to such a place where they looked at the tax collectors as sinners. The thing that I see here is all of a sudden it was safe for Zacchaeus to open himself up to Jesus. However, looking into this, It would not have been safe for Zacchaeus to open up to the Pharisees and the scribes, the very people that he should have been able to. But as we read the scriptures and as we look into this subject more and more, we see that the very people that should have been able to see deeper in Zacchaeus' life, or other people for that matter, were not able to see beyond the heart. Jesus said to Nicodemus that night, when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, he said, "Art thou a master in Israel, and ye know not these things?" I believe the reason that the scribes and the Pharisees could not see beyond the heart was because of the conflict that went on within themselves. You see, the Pharisees and the scribes could not even come into unity in who Jesus was, let alone become unified and functional within themselves. Some of them said he was Satan. Some of them said he was full of Satan. Some of them said he drives out the devils by the master devil. There was a great confusion amongst the scribes and the Pharisees and just who Jesus was. So I see this as a two-way street. Zacchaeus, Jesus saw Zacchaeus as a man with a heart, with a soul, and with a mind. And there was something that happened within Zacchaeus that he became unified within himself, that he saw Jesus for who he was. And it says, "This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is the son of Abraham." So there was salvation that came to Zacchaeus' house. There was something that came to Zacchaeus' house. There was something that happened within Zacchaeus that had not yet happened in the people that were watching on. Just looking on a little bit, want to look at something else here in Mark. In Mark 12:30, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy..." That is Mark 12, verse 30. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And it says here, "And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." You see, this was one of the scribes that was it says it answered him discreetly. In other words, he was studying things out. He was watching closely. He was putting thought to it. And he, there was a unity forming within that scribe. And we can read here, when we look at the answer of this scribe and the answers of other scribes and Pharisees, we can see that this scribe was becoming unified and honest about the things, about the kingdom of God. And, you know, there were many times in my younger years when I looked at this and I wondered, now why did he say to him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God? Those key words there stood out to me in younger years, and my question was, okay, what is he really saying? I believe that Jesus saw this man coming to the truth, not only the truth in his heart or mind or soul, but he was coming to a unified truth within himself. He was no longer arguing within himself. He was no longer, the battle no longer was raging within himself. There was no more, the conflict was being settled. It doesn't mean that this man was perfect. It's just simply that he was becoming honest within himself. He was becoming honest, and his heart and mind and soul were agreeing. You see, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, we must become unified within ourselves in order to do so. And sin is what keeps us from being unified. Sin is what keeps us from loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and with all of our soul. The sin is what keeps the battle going. When one is born again, he will have a new heart. And that is a great start. However, because of the sin-reaped world that we live in, and because of the breakdown in the soul areas of our lives, for generations and generations, this broken down state in the soul area has been so great. It can take a while till we are healed in many different areas, till the soul is restored, remade, thoroughly restored. If we can see the soul as a house, a dilapidated house, a house that is practically falling and collapsing, a house that needs a new roof, new doors, new windows, new gutters, new siding, just needs complete new renovation. It takes time to restore such a building. And likewise in our lives, as long as we live here, there will always be things within our souls to be restored. However, I believe that the Lord wants us, he wants enough of restoration within us today that we can function and agree within ourselves. No matter how broken down we are, the main thing is that we can come to an agreement within ourselves, that there is unity within ourselves. I'd just like to take a look here at the crucifixion there. You know, Jesus was being crucified, and the interesting thing here is who was behind the crucifixion of Jesus. Now, we realize that God the Father allowed this to happen. He could have stopped it, but he allowed it. But who was behind it? It was the very people that should have understood these things. It was the very people that should have been helping those that were in they should have been helping the people that had a battle raging within. In our day, we would say they should have been helping the ones that need to go into these mental hospitals and psychiatric wards. You know, we live in a day when these houses and hospitals are full. And there's questions going on. What should we do? Should we build more houses? Should we make more room for these people? Here, the very people that should have understood the they should have understood, and they should have been able to look at people and see that they have a battle. They have a civil war going on within themselves, and they should have been able, the very people that should have been able and were set in place by God to help people. These were the very same people that wanted to get Jesus out of the way. They wanted him crucified. Why? Here was a man that understood. Here was a man that saw people beyond the heart. And the very people that should have been, art thou a master in Israel, and you understand these things not? See, the very people that were masters in Israel didn't understand. And they were the very people that wanted to get this man onto the cross, get him out of the way. Why did they want him out of the way? Because there was a conflict going on within themselves. And because of that conflict, they could not see who he was. And you know, that still works that way today. That still works that same way today. The very people that are put in place by God that should know how to help many of these people are the very ones that despise those that are able or through many circumstances, through many how can I say this? Today, I'll just say it this way. It was that way in Jesus' time, and it is still that way today. You know, for many of us, it is too painful to look at this conflict within us. It is too painful. That, you know, for many of us, our souls have been broken down, and there's so much pain associated, sin and pain associated with that breakdown, that we can hardly take a look at it. It's just too painful. to get that honest, to look at it, to get that honest, as, like Zacchaeus did. One of the things that I'd like to look at here is they crucified Jesus, and it says one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." You see, this one that railed still had not come to a unity within himself. He was still battling. He was still in the battle. The battle was still raging within him. But the other one, it says, now let's take a look at the other one. But it says, the other one answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?" You see, here were two in the same state, in the same condemnation. Both were going to die. Both had a broken down soul. Both were in sin. Both needed a new heart. Here it goes on. He said, "And we indeed justify, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss." You see, the one, the battle still raged. The one, it was too painful. It was too painful to, it says, I don't know that it says it right here, but it says that it's somewhere else in the scriptures that these two were thieves. The one still wasn't seeing himself as a thief. The other one saw himself as a thief. He saw the condition that he was in. And he looked at Jesus and he knew deep within himself. You see, he had become honest enough with himself. He had come to a place where he saw himself as a thief. He saw himself as one that was receiving what he deserved. Yes, it was painful, but he accepted that. The other one, even though he was hanging on the cross, he was about to die, he was facing eternity, he was leaving this world, which in all that, under the circumstance, it should have been very painful. Or should have been, reality should have set in here. You know, in this day, this happens, I believe this happens a lot. There are those around us that are facing consequences. Maybe some are even facing prison time for their actions. But there is such a deep pain within that that this person cannot even... in other words, there's a way of going through pain and yet shielding ourselves from pain, rather than facing the painful facts of who we are and why we are where we're at. We can go through some very hard things in life and never face reality because it is too painful. However, the question comes, would it not be better for us to be unified and honest of who we are and who God is, and come to that honesty, no matter how big or how vast that pain might seem to us, rather than continue on living with that pain within us? Here was a man, he was hanging on a cross, and he was dying. However, it was still too painful for him to become unified within himself for who he really was and for where he was really at. The other one, you know, no one, as I understand it right, there is hardly anyone, even though our prisons are full of people with thieves and murders, they do not want to, a person does not want to consider himself a thief or a murderer. It's just too painful. Here's the difference between the two thieves on either side of Jesus. The one, it was too painful to come to a point for who he really was. The other one, however, became unified within himself. He knew with all of his heart, with all of his mind, and with all his soul who he was and who Jesus was, and he accepted that. And he faced that reality, and he became honest with that reality. And when I look at the words that Jesus said to him, you know, he looked at Jesus and he said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." You see, it doesn't matter how painful the things are in our past, how painful it is in who we are. It doesn't matter how broken down that house may be. It is when we become unified within ourselves who we are and who God is. That is when we can love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and with all of our soul. And we can experience with great joy the freedom that we can receive, not only in our heart, but also in our soul and in our mind. Jesus said that he wants to set us free, but he doesn't just want to set us free. He wants to set us free indeed. Like I said, on Monday morning, this is a vast subject, and I will probably not be able to exhaust it in 1 week. I just pray here this morning that there may have been a seed planted here this week that could all stir us up and to just become honest within ourselves and to become unified, that the battle within ourselves could come to a rest in Jesus. I think I will close for this week, wishing you all a good day in the Lord. May the Lord be with you all.